Okay, we have still not given away those tickets yet to see Bachman Turner Overdrive and Joe Cocker in the Turner Over and Cocker Tour. We're looking for the 100th caller with a terrible secret. Caller, you're on the air.
One time I ran over a guy, and I just drove away. I hate myself. I hate myself for it.
Sorry, you're number 98, so close. Next caller.
My little brother is actually my son.
99, next caller.
Yeah, I drank my roommate's last Sprite.
Congrats, you won. What's the station where it pays to stay? On the dial. We really gotta work on that slogan.
KPUB.
That's right, K-Pub, your public radio station. Coming up next, the Mascot Wedding Show, followed by Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and then 8 straight hours of cock rock.
Everybody, this is the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hodda.
My name is Mac Blake, and this is episode 274. The English Lord took
his lady's virtue.
Oh, a sexy episode
a
coming up.
Saucy.
Her virtue.
I want to say.
That's great. We are recording from the Hodgecast Studios, the Hodge Pound.
That's right, coming live.
Here in Austin, Texas. This is actually during South by Southwest.
Yes.
The annual Giant City that, or excuse me, the annual Giant Festival that eats our city.
It feels like a giant city is dropped on top of our city. It just kind of like lays over it.
A much cooler one.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Powered by cocaine.
Full of more people who don't know how to drive in the rain.
That's right. And by the way, we owe you a podcast lions. Meow.
Growl.
There you go. David, how are you?
I'm doing well. Nothing new to report. Stayed in last night, watched a movie. Fun time.
Oh, what'd you see?
Alan Partridge.
Oh, the Alpha Papa?
Yeah.
How was it?
Awesome. It was really great. Laughed out loud quite a bit.
It didn't make you like real sad?
No. I mean, I was worried that I was looking forward to it too much. I mean, I've been expecting this for a long time. And it met expectations. So I was very happy about that. Fun story about a movie that's on demand right now.
I actually saw a movie in theaters yesterday. My dad was in town, and it was like, hey, let's go hang out. I was like, cool, let's go see a movie. And we saw Nonstop.
Oh, okay.
That Liam Neeson one. But my dad likes talking in movies.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm not going to shush my dad.
Yeah.
And so, because he'll beat me. No, he's nice, but I also don't want to be like, shut up, dad. Because I don't want to be like, shut up, dad. We need to hear what Liam Neeson's saying. But it was in a regular movie theater, not an Alamo Draft House,
okay.
So nobody shot at us.
Does he go to the movies a lot?
I don't think so.
Okay, so he doesn't really...
I think he's a Redbox man at this point.
Okay.
Don't think that's a thing.
Sorry, that's just a gut reaction.
My dad loves redheads and their vaginas. Guys, we have a very special studio guest.
Perfect
been
segue.
Suffering through this hot talk. He's in town. He's official part of South by Southwest comedy, as is his group, the Grawlicks. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Andrew Overdahl.
Hey, yeah. Thank you for having me. Thank you. As if I just walked in right now and haven't been silently like, I want to talk about that movie too. I saw that movie too.
Did you see Nonstop?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was awful.
Yeah, it was real bad.
It was surprisingly bad, actually. Like, the movie itself was bad, but then the CGI of the exterior shots of the plane were like sub, like TV production levels, which...
Yeah, that's a bit surprising, because especially it took place in one location. They had to build one set, and then you'd think that they took that extra money and
made it look like real planes on the outside. Did not look like. It looked like a video game cutscene or something whenever there was the exterior of the plane.
Was Luc Besson involved in this in any way?
Because I'm surprisingly
no,
I don't think.
Yeah. Although it was a Canal Plus production.
Oh, okay, so it's international dollars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we said the same thing about Lockout.
Oh, my God. Did you see Lockout, Andrew?
Oh, with Guy Pearce?
Yeah.
I was looking forward to that one just as a big sci-fi nerd.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, I was like, this is fucking awful. Like,
well, I looked at how much the budget was for that movie, and it was like $12 million or something. And I was like, how do you film a space movie for $12 million? And I was watching it. And I was like, you know, for $12 million, this looks pretty good. And then a second later, it turned into bad video game graphics.
Yeah.
Like he was like, oh, I didn't know he went into the first Tron for a second, but there he was.
It's such a shame because Guy Pearce is so charming in that movie. Like, I can watch an entire movie of him, and I did, and it was called Lockout.
Yeah. It was at least a throwback to those 80s sci-fi movies, but at some point it just got lame.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of smoking in that outer space thing, too.
Which is always weird. Yeah. It's like, do you not know how an artificial environment would work? The first Alien is like that, too. They're all, like, just smoking cigarettes in a spaceship. I'm like, Man, air filter technology must come a long way in the future.
I'm surprised no one took like just 1 second of a throwaway line to be like, thank God for air filters, and like, that's it.
Or maybe have like a button on the console that says like, smoking and gravity, and it's like, on. Yeah.
Now I can relax.
It's working now. Because, man, nobody wants to pay to have people floating around.
No.
The entire time. So, nonstop at the end of the movie, I'm going to spoil it a little bit.
Fine.
When this guy reveals...
Hello, Fandango.
What?
Cancel my order. No, I'm just calling. Calling Fandango.
Oh, okay.
There's so many red herrings in the movie. Yeah. It is a great mystery, but only because you could never figure it out. Yeah. Like, when they reveal it, you're like, yeah, well, of course I'm surprised, because you have deliberately only shown me these like nefarious faces of innocent people like scowling needlessly. So you're like, oh, it's probably this guy, because it can only be this guy. And they're like, no, it wasn't that guy. It was this other guy. You didn't see it coming. Yeah, because you didn't show it. I had no chance of figuring it out.
Yeah, there was no like, oh, the clues are all there.
Yeah.
When the guy finally reveals why he is, harassing Liam Neeson on this plane, I almost it made zero sense. If I was like on that plane and Liam Neeson was like, I'm going to kill you now, I would almost be like, hey, wait, hold on. Go over that again. Like, why are you doing that? Doesn't seem to be right. Anyway.
They try to make like text conversations really suspenseful, which is pretty difficult to do. Like, who is this? But you see like his text parts, like it instantly takes you out of how serious.
Just watching him wait for the next text, like
exactly, and it chimes, it's like blink, and you're like,
oh, we got a new text. I thought we got him.
I wish he would have also been receiving texts from just like his friend, like eating like
this lunch fucking sucks.
He's like, hang on, I'm in the middle of another conversation.
There's one thrilling moment where he's checking this one guy's phone and he's looking at the pictures of a lady he took, because this guy was shooting a down blast photos a lady, and instead of just like looking at the first one and being like, here's your phone back, we sat there and cycled through all four
a few of them. Yeah, he
which
does.
I guess was that supposed to be like a hilarious moment?
I don't know. I couldn't tell. There's also the joke where he gives away free air travel for a year. I didn't even get that as a joke, and people are like, no, it's supposed to be funny, and I was like, oh, it didn't really seem funny.
Was it Liam Neeson delivering it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Like, I'll get free air travel for a year if you obey me. Like, it's weird. Very weird.
If you obey me. Yeah. Maybe he's
Well, he's making them do weird shit. Like, he's basically stripping them of their civil liberties.
Oh, is it like a Die Hard 3 thing where he's being told what to do?
Yeah.
Sort of. Well, no, he's trying to stop the guy, but to do it, he has to... corral everyone in business class, make them put their hands up, take away their phones. He has to do these things to try to isolate who it is. But obviously they're like, you know, why are you doing this? You're crazy.
And the bad guy is framing him, making it look like him.
Of course.
David, why didn't you see Nonstop before? Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd wait for Talking Non.
This is a podcast where we excruciatingly outline a movie verbally and ruin it for anyone who might even be considering it. Don't go see it in theaters. This is a Netflix caliber movie, tops.
Well, by the time this podcast comes out, it'll be long gone.
Catch it tomorrow on FXX.
Totally. It just wasn't very good. It reminded me of the movie Flight Plan, which was another airplane thriller that also sucked, where it was like so convoluted. Wasn't there like a fake plane in the bottom of the plane or something?
Something weird. What? At the end. That sounds awesome. Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, there was something weird like that where there was like, they were hiding in the bottom of the plane. I don't know.
It was like it was one of those movies where nobody believes you, which I do have a soft spot for, because I feel like that's my nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
Like a Ricochet. Yes. That movie about that guitarist Ricochet. No, like Ricochet, or like The Spanish Prisoner, or I don't know, other examples.
Trading Places.
Yeah. Where you're like set up and you know.
And no one believes it,
And it was like Flight Plan. Jodie Foster was like, where's my baby? And it's like, oh, you didn't have a kid on the flight. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And then it turns out Peter Sarsgaard was a Peter Sarsgaard character. Uh-huh. Total creep.
Yep.
If you were in a movie and in walked Paul Giamatti or Peter Sarsgaard, which one do you think would be masturbating in a shower fastest?
Oh, tough call.
Only
tough
one?
Call. Yeah. Wait, together, just sternly watching each other? That would be my answer.
I think. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, let's look at the car. Exactly word for
up
word.
The creep factor.
I think it's going to be Sarsgaard.
Now that Philip Seymour Hoffman has passed, who's our
go-to creep actor?
Yeah.
That was my favorite thing about Philip Seymour Hoffman, is his ability to play creeps like that and do it so convincingly, and then you'd be in another movie and you're like, oh, I like this guy all over again.
Yeah.
And that's so difficult to pull off.
Hey, I like this creep
a
lot.
Wasn't this guy making obscene phone calls last time I saw him? But now I'm like, no, I'm on board with his like heartwarming transvestite speech therapist character, whatever the fuck I'm watching.
He really could. Hoffman talk, but he did have awesome range. Like, he could be like this charismatic bad guy and at the same time be like, I'm Cameron Capaldi or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing a lot of voices this episode.
You are.
And you're
doing
nailing
a lot, a lot of heavy lifting on this one.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is looking down from heaven and smiling right now.
Oh my God, it's the ghost of Truman Capote just walked to the door.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I'm Truman Capote.
Hey, Truman. What do you think about this crazy world we live in now?
The pizza's good.
I don't know.
Well, that's E.T.
We'll be right back. So, Mr. Andrew, as you prefer, you asked me to call you.
Yep, on the way. Yeah. I'm a preschool teacher.
He whipped you with a bamboo rod.
Totally.
A bamboo rod. That's a pretty good name for a dude. Is that the Trader Joe's non-Mexican or Mexican equivalent?
It is.
Why Mexican?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
Let's explore this. Yeah, it's in,
I was
gonna
say,
in Utah.
Non-union, and then it made me think of Senor Spielbergo.
Oh, because Mexicans don't know how to get together.
All right.
They hold their union meetings in a truck, Mac? Is that what you're saying?
Do you want me to say it? I'll say it. I'm hella racist.
That's all I wanted.
You are from Denver.
I am. I'm visiting Austin. I have a question for you both. Before I forget, I want to clear this up, because I was...
The shoe's on the other foot.
I can't... I'll just tell you the story, and then I'll ask you the question. I was at South by Southwest last year, and I got really drunk and I walked off into the city. I was like, I want to check out other parts of Austin. So I walked over this bridge and wound up at some shitty, horrible bar far away. And I was making small talk with this dude. And he's like, are you here for South by Southwest? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, do you live here? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, real Austinites hate South by Southwest. The people live here, they hate it. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, that seems weird because of the shitloads of cash that it's just dumping on your city. Like, bartenders and servers are like, it's like they're making so much money. And then he replied totally seriously, yeah, but the mayor takes it all. And since then, I've spent the last year wondering what the fuck he was talking about.
Yeah.
Is there a sinister conspiracy I don't know about where the mayor around after South by Southwest with like a sack and takes everyone's money back?
Ever since our mayor killed Batman, he's had really just free reign of the city.
This guy was so sold on this idea that...
The mayor takes it all.
And I wanted to keep picking his brain like, can you expand on this? Yeah.
Let's go
look. But he's just like that sort of belligerent shit-faced where... You know, he was just done at that statement. But I've spent the last year curious about it, and now that I'm back for another South by Southwest, I'm fixated on this idea.
Our mayor didn't greet you at the airport.
Yeah, and, to extort money from me.
He looks like the Monopoly man.
Yeah, such a weird concept that he's.
There are a lot of people. I mean, I would say most of the city hates South by Southwest, but that's just because...
It's inconvenient, and it snarls your traffic, and there's assholes everywhere, and your favorite restaurant is now crowded with...
But these are all very, like, self-centered people, and they're also very boring people. Like, they don't know how to find the fun in this thing that's coming to town for a week, or just stay away from it. Like, like, oh, yeah, you know, my favorite restaurant's full now. It's like, well, go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is only in that one chunk, right?
I mean, it's pretty much just downtown.
Everyone is concentrated around there. And it is an amazing shit show. Like, it's...
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's...
I've never seen a spectacle on par with that. Like, you would have... You go once... You see it one time, you would know... Okay, this is either for me or not for me. Like, there's no like middle ground of like, maybe this will grow on me.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And it's not like it's a weekend festival or something. It's like an extended stay.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Man.
So it there's like a Stockholm syndrome that develops with it. It's like, I love our new South by Southwest neighbors. And then they go away.
Yeah, but it's exactly. It's like however involved you want to be is how involved you have to be. No one is saying like you have to go all in or a little bit. It's like, you know, and sure, it's. The thing with South by Southwest is it's gotten to the point where it's almost hard to make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's like, hey, man, everything's sponsored by something. It's like, yep, it is.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, Charmin was sponsoring, like, it's like, sure enough, they were.
Yeah.
There's a strange that looks like a Doritos machine. Yeah, that's its eighth year here.
Like, a buddy of ours on Facebook was doing a thing where he was, like, making up stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, I just left Jared Fogle's keynote. And then some friend of ours actually saw Jared Fogle in town. It's like, oh, yeah, you laugh, but I was 5 feet away from him. It's like, okay.
Yeah, like there's a huge, like, Subway eat-in refreshment corner, like, kind of thing down by the... Yeah, so I could totally see that. Yeah, we were making up fake conferences last night, and then reading through the thick booklet of conferences, like the shit that we were making up pales in comparison to the real shit we could have just pulled out of this booklet. The weirdest conferences.
There was a panel, it was either Friday or Saturday, discussing 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, he's there.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like,
wow.
This is, we're through the looking glass. Everybody.
Yeah, totally.
But it was brought to you by like SoundCloud or something.
Of course.
Wow.
That's.
Of course, those fat cats would get their hands into it. Oh, there's also a lot of money being thrown around, which is
we're
great.
Supposed to do a SoundCloud show later.
Is that right?
Which is why that's who sponsors that thing on Thursday.
I don't fucking know. Oh,
yeah, Andy Peters is doing a walking podcast called Comedy Wondertones. If you run into Andy Peters, he will interview you for SoundCloud on the spot.
Well, thank you for setting me up with that SoundCloud. Yeah.
But, you know, and the other thing about South By is there is a lot of, like, cool stuff, and they, like, drop all these, like, celebrities down here. And so Facebook, which is normally, you know, like, everyone posting about their, you know, oh, here's what I'm doing that's really cool and everything, and you're just looking at, like, this news feed of success stories or something. During South By, it's just, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I hate it.
Yeah.
It's really annoying because it's like everyone, it's like, oh, look, here's me and Dan Harmon. Like, here's me and Dan Harmon. And
it's a mad dash to attain this low level of happenstance celebrity where it's like, oh, I was in the same room with Dan Harmon, therefore I'm friends with Dan Harmon.
But you know what? I'm used to it now. And if someone is having a good time, I don't know why I'm picking on Dan Harmon so much, but like, but somebody posted, it doesn't bother me. However, somebody posted last night the thing that I think was about as awful as it gets. So one of the many terrible projects that they're promoting here at South by Southwest is Dust Till Dawn, the TV series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
May be good. I don't know. But it's on Rob Rodriguez's channel, which that guy's awful.
El Rey.
And so they had a pop-up bar of Titty Twister, which is the name of
it. Yeah, he lives here, right?
Yeah.
He does. Yeah.
Sort of lives
here. We haven't tracked him down yet.
The elusive Rodriguez.
Yeah. Actually, I heard his house is amazing. Like, he's got hidden passages in it.
Oh, yeah. I think
that makes sense.
Too. Yeah, I could see that.
He strikes me as the non-union Rob Zombie.
Yeah. And he's non-union. Is that a keyword?
That is Webster, the TV show where he hides behind the clock.
But, that's pretty great.
That's the only reference that comes to
he's
mind.
He's still hiding behind a clock to this day. Yeah. No one will find me here. He dies. But there's this pop-up titty twister, which is from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy I know who I like this guy, but he posted a picture of himself and he's like, I'm a titty twister right now. Robert Rodriguez is on stage playing music from his movies. I'm eating a big kahuna burger and I'm hanging out with Robert Patrick and Danny Trejo. And I was like, wow, that sounds like the worst. This terrible guy is on stage. I like some of his movies, but playing music that you don't care about.
Yeah, but
he's not showing movies. He's playing music.
The live music version, not so.
Yeah. You're eating a burger that's so good it doesn't really exist. No one cares to make it.
Yeah.
And you're hanging out with Danny Trejo.
Let's
and
be honest, two of the ugliest actors possible.
Exactly. Robert Patrick seems like a lot of fun.
I don't know how you can eat a burger while looking at Danny Trejo. Anyway, no offense. I think he's a fun
taken.
Actor.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, realistically, if just eating a hamburger, like looking at the meanest face possible.
Or why? Or even worse, like watching him try to smile like, hi, I'm Danny Trejo. It's like, oh, God.
Making small talk.
The burger's good, right? No, Danny, please don't.
I think that's in his writer. He's like, a separate eating area. I don't have to listen to the vomiting. Hey, these grits look good. Stop a trail. I'm going to, when I go back and edit this podcast, there's going to be so many vomit SFX in there.
Just
a lot of splatter.
Just vomit up.
Yep.
Totally.
Put it in there. So,
I like to imagine you Foley your own sound effects. So you'll just get a can of clam chowder and pour it into a bucket over and over again.
Yes, I will. You obviously read my blog.
That didn't sound right. Let's get a tin bowl. Yeah, this let's hear it rattle around.
More
in
splash.
There.
I need more splash.
We'll just get the breakfast at Subway and just see what happens. No Take offense, that. Subway. Oh, I'm gunning for him.
Our new sponsor, Subway.
Damn.
God damn it.
I bet it's tasty. I don't want to knock them. They're successful.
I bet it's not. Ugh.
I bet it gets the job done.
And so that's what Denver is like. Thank you, Andrew. But you're in town from Denver, and man, everything I hear about the Denver comedy scene is blowing up, including you yourself wrote an article that I read about how it's going so well. I feel like, you know, a lot of course, like New York and LA have they have to, it's contractually obliged that they have to have comedy scenes, but like, you know, you hear great things about Portland, but something about the Denver scene right now, it seems like a lot of people are really like planting a flag there and like not necessarily wanting to leave, but trying to make or trying to grow the Denver scene. Why do you think that is?
I actually,
and I'll hang up and listen.
As I said in the article, I think it's because, well, it's a combination of there's nothing around. Like, you can't, like, if you're in Austin, you could drive to Dallas and do comedy in another big city. You could drive to Houston, do there's like drivable options. But if you live in Denver, you have to drive like at least a day in any direction to get to anything even resembling a city. And then you're in Salt Lake City or Albuquerque or Kansas City. You're in a city that, not to shit on those cities, but I will. you're going downward in the city.
You don't want to do a weekend in Fort Collins?
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing?
Actually, Fort Collins has gotten pretty cool these days, but that's another that's a subject for another day.
Fort Collins.
I'll write that down.
Yeah, it's finally coming around. but there's I think that's part of it, but also it's just like so fun to stay there. People are, they just don't want to go to LA. Like, they'll think about it, they'll be like, maybe I should go to LA now, and they'll be at that part point in their career where it would make sense, and then they just don't, they just stay. And so we have this like surplus of great comedians and great shows and everything, but
that's awesome.
There's no entertainment industry to sort of like support that, like in New York or LA, where it's like, and now you, congratulations, you did enough steps and now you get a TV show and now, you know, but in Denver, you just keep doing it. And then you're kind of like, oh, well now I'm running like six shows and I'm headlining these clubs. And, but then, you know, you're still making like part-time money. So it's kind of, I don't know how sustainable it is. But it's interesting now as more and more, as you can do more and more content creation from anywhere. Like last night, I was here in Austin. They showed a trailer for some movie these guys made right here in Austin. It looked great. It looked really fun. And it was cool just to see, like, oh, they made a feature
the
movie.
The movie.
It was called Intramural. It's like a flag football movie.
Yeah.
And it looked funny, and it had, like, great people in it and everything. And I was chatting with that one, and they're like, yeah, we made it here in, like, a month of time and stuff. So nowadays, you can just do stuff like that. Like, more and more people can actually create content from anywhere. So hopefully in Denver, we're going to turn that corner and start making, like, everybody does videos, like webisodes and shit like that already.
Webisodes.
But it'll be cool if we can turn the corner to make, like, oh, well, now we're making sitcom episodes from Denver, and, you know, this some website is paying for them, and then we show them on their website. Stuff like that, I think, is the next level of entertainment anywhere. And they'll do it in Austin, they'll do it in Portland. Every like, cities will just have their own flavor of movies and TV shows and stuff, which will be a cool future.
So with that in mind, do you have a response for people who will come to you and say, oh, you're doing really great here. When are you going to move to New York or LA?
Well, I actually lived in both. I didn't do comedy when I lived in New York, but I did comedy when I lived in LA, and then I moved back to Denver because I accidentally had a baby and ruined my career. But
it really blew out your finger.
Whoops, yeah.
I'm sorry for your loss.
So having lived there, but I would love, I mean, ideally I'd like to split my time between both cities, I mean, because I love living in LA anyway. I thought I would hate it. Like, everybody has an idea of LA.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's, everybody's so fake. Oh, the traffic's so bad. It's like every city.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Also like every single city ever.
Yeah.
Like, just fake people live in LA. They all just go to LA.
I'm sure there's some real dickheads who live in Lubbock,
in
too.
In Denver, yeah, exactly.
Oh, trust me on that Lubbock one. Dickhead city. Look, Lubbock.
we're calling you out.
Yeah, we're taking you to task.
But, ideally, I'd like to split my time, because I think that right now, like, you do, there is like a component in LA that you want to strive for. Like, I want to make full-time money. I'd like to make like career money. And right now that doesn't seem to be attainable in Denver. So there still is that sort of need for that. And I recommend any new comic in Denver that asks me for, they're like, should I move to LA? I always say, yeah, you should, because you should at least try it. See, you can always move back to where you moved from. That's easy. Moving back somewhere is the easiest thing ever. But you may as well take the chance, jump out there, see, maybe you'll hate it. Maybe you'll move back in a fucking month. Maybe you'll love it. Maybe great things will happen for you right out of the gate. I know people who've moved to LA and got a writing job on a late night show like a week into living there. Like, you just don't know what'll happen. So why not just roll the dice?
Yeah.
It's not, especially if you're young and you don't have any like attachments in the city you are, go for it. Just get out there just for fun.
Here in Austin, like, if somebody moved to New York or LA and they went there and they just, like, for all we know, they could be like, oh, what'd you do in LA? Oh, I sold drugs to other drugs. Like, literally, I got pieces of crack hooked on heroin. But you come back here and it's like, oh, I was in LA for a while. And everyone's like, whoa.
You made it.
Yeah, you can always come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially like improv people. Like you go to Chicago and literally like, oh, I was an ashtray for Japanese businessmen. And then you move back and someone's like, I was in Chicago. And you're like, oh man, how fast can I blow you or go down on your sweet stuff?
People definitely romanticize how difficult it is. Same with when I lived in New York. They're like, wow, you lived in New York. I'm like, shitloads of people live in New York. Like, really poor people with huge families live in New York. There's all kinds of people who live in New York. It's not just, you're just imagining, like, the rich person in the Manhattan penthouse. There's a lot, there's a whole strata of living situations there. It's not a feat to live in New York. Like, people do it across the entire spectrum of incomes. You just have to want to live in New York. Like, it's the same thing with LA. People are like, whoa, LA though, that just seems crazy. It's like, no, can you pay rent? Can you have a job and pay rent? Well, you'll find an apartment that fits the amount of money you make. Like, and that's just how it is.
Yeah. It's, I mean, cause I've been to LA a couple times and it's really, it's a nice city. Like it's just a city. There's, you know, suburbs and there's
strip malls there. There's like you want an Old Navy for some reason, pallets there, you know?
Bingo.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It's pleasant weather and you just, again, you have to know where you're going. Like, People complain about shit. I'm like, well, did you just go immediately to Beverly Hills? You just went to the worst part of the city immediately, and then you're complaining about it. Yeah. Like, that doesn't. You didn't go to the cool areas.
Yeah, I walked down Sunset. No thanks. It's like, well, Sunset's gross and weird. Like, that's fine.
Oh, you went where the tourists go and you didn't like it? That's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
I fell right into one of those tar pits that's down there. I just walked right in and there was a giant sloth. I was like, I don't like this.
Thankfully, a guy was dressed as Superman and he saved me, but I had to tip him and no thanks.
Then he groped me. He grabbed my bathing suit area.
There you go. Yeah.
Do we want to talk about this? Because we are recording. So, guys, we lost some. The card stopped recording all of a sudden, so that's why you had that transition.
And then it got real good when we weren't recording.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just downhill running at that point.
It was WTF quality. And by that, of course, I mean, wow, that's fantastic. And what I mean by that is I was doing some shows at Cap City this weekend, and they have the kind of advertising where it's like a poster right above a urinal.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're sitting there peeing, you're
classic
like...
Classic comedy club.
Yeah.
Move. Yeah.
And you're staring at
some,
it.
From a fitness gym.
And for some reason, there's some marina in town.
Okay.
That is like, I know who wants to buy a boat. It is the people who go to see stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And so it was like, man, getting a boat is WTF. And then below it says, wow, that's fantastic.
Because somebody probably told them that that's what it meant.
Yeah. Some guy just
wanted
to get fired.
What does WTF mean? Wow, that's fantastic, Dad. Like, quit checking my phone.
WTF, Dad. What was that, son? Wow, that's fantastic, Pops.
I'm going to take that to the meeting tomorrow.
Hey, that's a positive attitude. What were we talking about?
We were talking about he quit,
pot edibles.
Yeah, he quit drinking. And
I quit drinking. Yeah. Well, I was talking about since I've quit drinking about 5.5 months ago, it's taken the main perk of going to comedy fests away, which is getting hammered in a new city in a fun, festive environment. And I'm kind of like, yeah, this is fun, but I could just go to bed at like 9:30 p.m. Yeah. It just changes, like, because the after party is... there's not really a draw for it. It makes me sound pretty like a.
No.
But like, I have a girlfriend who I don't cheat on and I don't drink. So why would I go to this after party? Is there free pizza? No. No, then I would definitely not go. That's like, there's no reason just to watch other people be drunk and stand there like the dad of the party. No, I'd rather.
Yeah, my dad told me years ago, there's two things you never want to be in. That's drunk around sober people and sober around drunk people.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Why would you want to go?
They just don't mesh. They just don't mesh well. But my new vice is, because in Colorado, pot is now legal, and Denver is now literally the most liberal place on earth for pot. It's even more liberal than Amsterdam, because you can just buy it anywhere. You don't have to go to special coffee shops or anything to smoke it. If you are a Colorado resident, you can buy an ounce legally. If you're just visiting, if you guys came to Colorado tomorrow on a plane, you could buy a quarter of an ounce a day while you were there just by showing your ID. You just walk in and show your ID.
Wow.
And you get to choose from a menu. Like, it's insane. And I don't smoke pot because it makes me super paranoid, like crazy. So I can't smoke it, unfortunately, because my inner teenager would love to go in and because back when I was had my huge pop phase, you have to buy it like behind a fucking Old Navy, and it's like dried out. It's like a cigarette cellophane thing full of like the worst weed ever that's been on like a worldwide tour, like in a balloon and somebody's uterus or something. Just like the grossest weed.
But you're grateful for it at the time.
Oh yeah, it's back then it was like pot was pot. There was and now it's like there's all these like glass jars. It's all like artisanal. And there's like a guy who can like tell you like, well, what are you going to do with it? Like, well, I thought I would like eat some snacks and watch a movie. And he's like, then this is the perfect. Then you'll want this.
You're going to do that with Alaskan Thunderfuck? Yeah. Not Yuma, man.
Yeah, totally. And that it's like pot for sleeping, pot for activities. And but I can't. Yeah, I don't do that. But now I eat pot edibles, which is a weird thing. Like it was like the drug. It was like one of those mythical drug creatures when you're growing up, like, oh, we made pot brownies. And it was, you always heard about pot brownies, but you never, like, at least me, could never actually get your hands on one because it required labor and some sort of knowledge of how to make the butter and mix it all up and whatever.
Right.
Now there's like bakeries that just produce that and candies. I have like this, people over and I'm like, yeah, you want to like, you know, if you want to get fucked up, I'll pull down this like bag of like broken candies. It's like the weirdest vice ever. Like, get a load of these Sour Patch Kids.
Just driving around schools.
Yeah. And I have to keep them up high because I have a 4-year-old daughter. So I'm like, oh, Jesus, if she found this bag of like candy, it would be disastrous.
She'd be the coolest kid in school.
Yeah, the greatest conversation of all time.
Mind bender.
Is the sun real?
So I'll like eat these pot edibles. And yeah, I'd never had an experience with them, but those are pretty fun. That's like my new. That's my new, if I had a vice, it would be that. But I do it so rarely because it's like a 6-hour ordeal. You can't just, it's not like drinking. We're like, well, I'll just have a beer or two and we'll just have a chat. It's like, well, I'm going in. Like, I'll be gone for the rest of the evening on these. So I do it pretty rarely.
Get home at 6 and I'll be pulling into the station around midnight.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's luck, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly.
I still like the idea of like, oh, let's go out and like, you know, party it up and stuff and. Mm. And, you know, like, do a bunch of shots. But then, like, the reality of it is like, I don't have that energy to be hungover.
Yeah.
And it never matches up to the expectations beforehand. You're like, you know, everyone gets mopey or something.
Yeah, I get tired now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why, I mean, like, when I would smoke weed, I'd either get real sleepy or I would just go crazy. I don't know what it was about it, but I'd be like, this is good. I'm tired.
That's the fun part.
Which, that's nice, because it's like, I'll just then go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other part, which is like, I'm insane.
Yeah.
I got to turn off this brain right now before it, you know, figures out how to kill us all with an earthquake or something. I don't know.
That's what happened last time I got high. I was in Portland for this Bridgetown Comedy Fest, and we're doing the show called Midnight Run. I don't know if you've heard of it. They're doing it here, actually.
Yeah.
Andy, is that right?
Andy Haynes.
Andy Haynes.
Friend of the show, Andy
Haynes.
That's
right.
Andy Haynes will get comics very high and then have them do sets. And I was like, yeah, this sounds like fun. I smoke pot so infrequently, it'll be a shit show. And I, whenever I get a chance to do a show like that that's like outside the normal stand-up, I always think it's fun. And I'll jump on it. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And so he knew how little I smoke pot. And he's like, you should do like one hit. He's like, you should take like one hit and just be done. And I was like, yeah, I know, whatever. So it's time for the show, and everyone's backstage getting high, and I take my one hit. Everyone's having a great time, and I'm feeling, like, pleasant because, you know, you get a little euphoria.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I think I need more than one hit. I think I need, like, 12 hits just in rapid succession. And so I smoked so much pot because I'm just caught up in the moment. Everyone else is doing it. That's like the dumbest thing you could, but no, I'm serious. Everyone else is doing it and you want to have fun like everyone else. Mm. And I was like, wow, now I'm high. And then I'm like, well, now I'm higher than I thought. And then it just would not stop, this elevator ride just going up and up. And I realized how high I was when, this was like the moment of clarity on how high I was when I thought I saw an open sack next to me with a Netflix DVD inside. And like anyone who's listening to this right now, if you see one of those Netflix sleeves, you have to know what the movie is, right? Like if you go into somebody's house and they have one on by the door, you're like, I will sneak a peek at this. Like one way or the other, I will look through
David's mail.
Yeah, exactly. Like I will know.
Open it up.
What this movie is. And so I like reach into the sack and I'm like looking at the movie. But then I realize I'm not reaching into a sack at all. I'm reaching into someone's purse that just happens to be next to me. I'm just rifling through a stranger's purse in a green room, a crowded green room. And I was like, okay, I need to leave here right now because I just saw this as a sack. And so I ended up not doing the show. I ended up telling Andy that I couldn't do it. And he goes, well, I'll tell you the reason why. Well, so I go and I'm trying to, after the purse thing, I went out into this hallway and I was trying to chill out. So I was like sort of pacing back and forth. And my friend from Denver, who's a comic, his name's Chris Charpentier, and he's like a drug professional. He's one of those dudes that like, he just smokes pot constantly. He's like, you'll just see him like, he'll be like, just like eating dinner in a restaurant. I'm like, oh yeah, I just ate shrooms. Like he's that level of like competent with drugs. So he was sort of like my like go-to like crutch for this whole experience. And he's like, dude, just be cool. Just remember that everything that seems weird is not weird. And like you made this decision to be this high. Just keep reminding yourself that.
Did that help?
Nothing weird. Yeah, it did help, but it helped to the point where, so I'm pacing in this hallway trying to calm my shit because I'm like, dude, be fucking cool. You're up. I was up like fourth in the order. I was like, just fucking be cool. And so I'm pacing back and forth on this hallway and I come across this thing on the floor that like looks like
a sack.
Like guts. No, it looks like somebody's like intestines or something that have been like chopped out of them and thrown on the floor.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, that's not what that is. Fucking be cool. Walk away from that. And I walk and I pace back and I'm like, no, there's something. What the fuck is on this floor? Like, did somebody like clean a chicken over this floor? And it's a carpeted hallway like that leads to the green room. I'm like, oh, dude, you are fucking high. Keep just ignore this. Like fucking forget about it. But I keep pacing by it and I keep stooping down. I'm like, there's something fucking, something got killed right here in this hallway. And these are the guts of it. And so finally, I'm like, I can't take this anymore. So I go and find my friend Chris, who's out on the show. And I'm like, dude, you need to come fucking look at this right now. And he's like, oh, Jesus. He's like, what is it, a doorknob? Like, what is going on? So he comes backstage with me, and he bends down and looks at it. And then he looks at me, and he goes, dude, everything else tonight has been totally normal, but I have no fucking idea what this is. This is really weird. And then my head just goes, boom, like explodes in craziness. And it turns out in Oregon, they have these things called banana slugs, which are these huge slugs. Yes. And one oozed its way into the theater and got stepped on. So I was seeing this like alien-esque, like gross thing on the carpet. But I had no knowledge of banana slugs or that it would be there. So that was definitely the worst thing that could have happened. So I went and found Andy and I was like, I'm not doing your show. And he's like, I'll go out on stage with you and I'll just stand next to you. So I'll be here. And I grabbed him by the shirt and I was like, I'm not going on stage. I'm leaving. And so I left the venue and had to be like babysat as I was like mall walking around the block for about 3 hours straight.
Oh my gosh.
Real high, real high. And so that was the end. I was like, okay, that's the end of my smoking pot days for sure.
Yay! But not the end of your pot days. Just
now I'll just eat it, which is way more risky for losing your shit if you end up gobbling down too much of that
shit. Especially if you find something that's actually delicious in its own right and you're like, oh, actually I like this brownie.
I'll
genuinely
just keep eating it. That's why I like the candies, because they're in, the dose is so contained, you're like, all right, I know that there's 5 milligrams in this watermelon gummy wedge. So you know, you're, whereas like a cookie, you're like, I have no idea how much they poured into this cookie.
Plus a watermelon gummy wedge,
delicious.
You get to eat that. what the alternative, a fire? Anyone wants that?
Yeah.
The way you were setting up that story, I thought for sure that it was going to be actual, like,
intestines.
Like you saw a dead guy and you're like, and 2 days later I read the paper and turns out I didn't do anything about it. Yeah.
And it was dead. It was just like a pile of what looked like guts. It wasn't, that was what it looked like on the carpet. Uh-huh.
Like a bad, or not necessarily bad, but like a movie that involves aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's, you know, what all I could think about was some sort of aliens that like left something, or it was like an alien. I don't know. It was really disturbing.
Yeah. All you need to do is be like, hey there, little guy, and it just goes right to your nose.
Yeah.
like a
the last thing I need. I'm high already.
A scene where the spaceship flies overhead, and then like a hobo with like a bottle looks at it, and he's like, he looks at the bottle, he's like, I gotta quit drinking. It's this bottle. Which,
that's how many times have you seen that?
That's pretty great.
Keep drinking, hobo.
I wish that was just, and then you find out it was just the hobo's like alcohol fueled hallucination.
It becomes,
like, there wasn't. Yeah. He really should quit drinking, because at the end of the movie, you find out it was all in his brain.
Yeah.
It's the inciting incident of like a drama about his alcoholism. It's like, And I really did see a UFO, but it was just
I am a paranoid schizophrenic who has gone off his meds.
I wish that wasn't so close to the plot of actual movies, but what was that thing? Identity? Did you guys ever see that piece of shit?
Oh, yes. Where it's all in his head? Yeah. That was kind of a fun twist at the end.
Well, get ready for the end of True Detective tonight.
I didn't see it.
Oh, I should have put
Now people know when we recorded
now
this.
Now we dated it. Sorry, guys.
We sat on this for so long.
Or maybe you just bought the DVD set of True Detective a year later.
Yes. Maybe we're having a viewing party. Guys, I don't want to date this show. Quick, David, pick a Super Bowl winner. Who are you thinking? Ravens or 49ers? Who are you betting? Damn it. Who's in the first Super Bowl? the Packers versus Chiefs?
Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
that was the first Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
It was?
I had this like book when I was a kid. It was like the guide to the Super Bowl throughout the years. And because there was no internet, I read it a lot.
That's how I know so many Oscar winners.
That was your only book?
It was my only book. Actually, my parents would, like any book I wanted to read, they would buy it because they'd be like, oh, you want to read? Sure, yes. And so like I had so much like dumb kids. I'm going to call it, say, kids lit.
Yeah.
Because it was like there was a G.I. Joe novel, and my parents were like, well, it's a book, fine.
Yeah, same with my parents.
But it was like, you know, Adventures of Thunderdome or something.
Yeah.
I grew up without TV, so all of my, like, other kids would be talking about, dude, did you see Terminator 2? And I'm like, I read the novelization. Like, that's how I would experience all like, film culture was the novelization, which Alan Dean Foster seemed to write every single one of them.
Oh, Alan like, Dean Foster.
Made an awesome career out of writing books based on movies.
So has that guy done anything else?
I know he's written his own books, but all I know him of is the novelization of every fucking movie ever.
David's calling Stephen King right now.
I am, yeah.
Stefan.
Beep, 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 beep.
So wait, were you one of those kids who didn't have a TV?
Like, yeah, I grew up without TV. We had a TV when I was in high school, but we were only allowed to watch like an hour a week. And every Sunday we had to sit down with a TV guide and choose how we were spending the hour. Yeah. But we could break it up into 15-minute sections. So sadly enough, I would watch like 15 minutes of Jake and the Fat Man, then 15 minutes of The Fall Guy, then 15 minutes of the Mission Impossible TV series, and then 15 minutes of Stephen King's It miniseries. Like, that would be how I would break up
hour
of TV. And it was so sad, because, of course, you'd get sucked in. You'd be like, please, I want to know if they're going to pull off this caper.
Are Jake and the Fat Man going to get back together?
Yeah, and that would be how I was able to watch TV. But for the bulk of it, yeah, we didn't have a TV. It got stolen when I was a little kid, and my parents were, I guess, just like, let's not get a new one. Uh-huh. And at the time, it was horrible because all my friends
had it. I was
going to
say, did you resent your parents? Like, fuck you, mom and dad.
But then, like, looking back, I'm like, that was the best thing ever because I was, like, drawing and reading books and, like, playing outside and doing all this great stuff. And I'd go over to my friends' houses or my grandma's house, and then I'd sit there and watch TV all the, you know, I just suck, like, lose my life in it. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't, for sure.
Yeah, it's one of these things where it's like, oh, you're a creative person now. It's like, yeah, thanks, mom and dad. Yeah.
You ruined my life.
Quick update on Alan Dean Foster. He writes a lot of novelizations.
Yeah, right.
And he also wrote some of the Dinotopia series.
Ooh.
Yeah. But mostly
the TV show.
I think
it was a TV show.
The TV show or the dinosaur-friendly commune?
It was. It was run by the
dinosaur or Dino Curious.
Jim Jones, Dino Jim Jones, and they drink Kool-Aid.
Those art books are pretty neat. They hold up.
Oh, I remember that they had like TV ads for them or something.
The what?
The Dinotopia. Like what all that stuff was based off of was this guy wrote these, or he did this art. These like really cool paintings of dinosaurs and people like living together. And everything sort of spawned off from that. But I saw one the other day, and I was like, this is still cool.
Yeah.
Man, those Scary Stories to Tone the Dark.
Yes.
Those books. They redid them or whatever with a new illustrator.
Mm.
The old illustrator of that was still the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's these awful, like, gray watercolors where just, like, spiders are exploding out of people's faces. It's just the worst thing in the world, but you get them at book fairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, hey, here's the, I don't remember what it was called. Book fair with those little Scholastic
things. Yeah, Scholastic Book Club. The bummer about that is that now that I'm older and have disposable income to blow on whatever I want to try to recapture my youth, I went looking for some of those like original like watercolors or whatever. They destroyed them all. The publisher was like, we're running out of room in our warehouse or whatever.
No, and we've got all... they were too evil. They were like, people were dying after seeing them firsthand.
Where's that movie?
They burned them. it's based on like a young adult.
This sounds like Halloween 3. This is all, just roaches come out of the mask?
Wasn't there a Freddy movie where he was like, I painted a painting of Freddy, but now it's coming real or something like that. Wasn't that
Well, there was one where they were making a movie about it and and he was killing people called New Nightmare.
Yeah, New Nightmare was about keeping the story alive to keep the actual Freddy at bay. It was actually really good. So that's why you have to keep telling your kids the story of Freddy, because if you don't, if you forget about Freddy, then Freddy will come back.
That's why they made that fourth Pirates of the Caribbean, so Johnny Depp wouldn't die, right?
Exactly.
We have to keep him alive by having people look at him.
For all those great stories about scarves.
Yes, scarves. He loves them. He loves scarves. Andrew, do you have a day job?
I'm a freelance writer for... This is the weirdest job ever, because it shouldn't exist. I write blogs for companies' websites... to give them content. This is a real job in today's. I write blogs that no one reads for businesses. Like, for example, one of the businesses is a company that sells horse trailers. So every week I have to think of a blog pertaining to horse trailers, an industry unsurprisingly devoid of invention.
Yeah.
So every week I think of something somehow related to horse trailers, and I write a blog, and it goes on their site, which gives them new content, which keeps them buoyed up in
like search engine
in Google rankings, because you need new content. So there's like, it's called search engine optimization, and there's black hat search engine optimization, where a company will just create a secret page on your website full of garbage and just keep adding garbage to it, but there's nothing actually there, but your site is artificially up there. But Google is always trying to find that and put an end to that. But if you have legit content, like I write a blog and it is for, if you were into horse trailers and the culture surrounding it, you might read this blog and be like, okay, you know, that actually, like, it's actual content that is going on their site. That is legitimate SEO, and it will keep your site up there. So that is my job, is writing blogs for a variety of companies every week. No one reads and no one wants to read, nor would I encourage anyone to read. it's like writing for no one, which is the worst way to write, probably.
So are you like an expert in like 8 very diverse, like very specific
the stuff
things?
That I write about now? Yeah. Like I've done it enough. I've done it for over a year, which is, I can't believe I've stuck with it, because there have been weeks where I'm like, I'm going to throw this computer through a window and I'm never going to write anything again. Like, I hate everything about this.
Yeah.
The horse trailer industry, that company also sells RVs. So I know all about RVs.
Okay.
Whatever, anything pertaining to an RV, I know all about RV slang. I know about RV culture.
Give me a little RV slang.
Like a boondocker, somebody who takes their RV where there's no hookups, where there's nothing. A snowbird, somebody who takes their RV. When it gets snowy where they normally live, they'll come down here to like Texas or Arizona, live in their RV down here. So that's one of them. There's one that's...
By the way, giving us RV slang, this is instantly my favorite podcast we've ever done. You just rocking this thing at the top of the charts.
Yeah. Talk about hip. Talk about hip.
No, I'm being dead serious.
The next 5 sketches we write are going to have RV slang.
So when you're like on the road and like a horse trailer is in front of you, or you're like, oh, it's a Trailmaster 5000. Yeah. Like, do you reckon?
I don't actually know anything about the brands. But just like I said, horse trailers are the most boring thing ever. Yeah. There's like nothing. Like I said, there's no innovations in it. It's just basically a metal thing with wheels that you put a horse in. It's so. But I'll be like, tips to keeping your horse alive on the road, like such shit like that. Like, just
give him sugar for being a good boy.
That's the thing, is these blogs are so common sense. Like, I'll dumb them down so much that it's like, you would, only an idiot would need the tips that I'm giving you. Like, give your horse water. Like, prevent your home from being broken into by locking the doors. Like, that's sort of the level of tips. But yeah, it's a company that does RVs and horse trailers, a mortgage brokerage. I know all about mortgages. If you guys need any mortgage tips,
maybe.
I've never bought a house, nor will I ever be financially secure enough to buy a house. Oh, well, but if that day comes, I know there's a cigar shop. And actually, I know a lot about cigars because I used to run a cigar shop. So that one is easy. The cigar blog is the easiest by far.
You're a weird dude, Andrew.
And then there's a moving company based out of Albuquerque. And that one, also difficult, because there's only so many moving tips to protect your back that you can really come up with. So
how many of these businesses are meth fronts?
All of them. They could all be. They could all be.
What I want you to do is I want you to next time you have some free time, just eat an edible, sit in a dark room, play some nice music, and just think about the person who bookmarked one of your blog posts.
Oh yeah, terrifying.
Yeah. It's like, what's their life?
I can't imagine. Yeah, if one of them went viral, I would be so ashamed. Like, oh my God, who wrote this? Like,
have you ever been tempted? I mean, I guess you don't want to fuck with your money stream, but have you ever been tempted to be like, I'm going to make every one of these things have a reference to a Fugazi album or something like that?
Oh, no, but what I was thinking, like I was saying, nobody reads them. Yeah. Like, the people that I turn them into this, my parent company, and I guarantee the people I turn into, they don't read it either. They just post it. And the people who work at these businesses, they're not reading it either. And nor is any customer who is going to a website for horse trailers being like, wait, there's a blog on here? And clicking that. Like, so I think like top to bottom, no one is looking at it. So I wanted to like, I was like, on the day that I do lose it, I'm going to just write like the fucking craziest shit. Like just, and no one will ever, no one will ever say like, hey, wait a minute. That blog was super offensive and insane. Like, that'll never happen because no one, I don't think anyone will read it.
Honey,
ever.
Did you know horse trailers hold up to 70 bodies? Yeah. Just read it in a blog post.
Hey, if you're taking your horse cross country, oh, sidebar, do you remember the time Obama got together with the gays and planned 9/11?
Totally. I would be, it would be amazing if someone was like, oh yeah, we just read your blog and you're fired. Like, I would never.
Yeah, you are the right to do so.
Well, Andrew Overdahl, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Question for you. How can people on the internet find out more about you? Where are you going to be and stuff?
I have a website called 5unicorns.com that I don't update the events calendar, but you can, sometimes I will. Sometimes I will post where I'm coming. And then I have a couple podcasts. I have a podcast called The Narrators, which is like a storytelling show. And I have a podcast called The Unicorn, where I chat with comics about sex. So those are on iTunes or wherever you want to. They're on my website as well.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you very much for coming on the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
David, let's get out of here.
Okay. Let's get chased through the woods by a chainsaw killer.
Okay.
This is a nice day.
Nice day in the woods, I think.
How was that?
Hey, that's my friend Greg. No, it's not.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.